We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's going on, Wisconsin? Welcome into the Bill Michaels Show. No, as I like to say every time I get a chance to fill in on this program, my name's not Bill Michaels. I'm Marcus Pfaff. Fortunate enough to sit in this chair for a day or two. Radio Joe Zinzola is here as well. Hey, Joe.
What up, Marcus? How are you?
I'm excellent, my man. I'm looking forward to this show. And a public service announcement to get things started. So I know how this goes sometimes when you have a fill-in host. You tune in, you love Bill, you know Bill, you love the show. And I miss him too, but give us a chance today, because I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with the Brewers, even though I know what's taking place on the field right now isn't all that fun. But it's a good time to talk about it, certainly, and figure out what's going to take place over the course of the next 2 weeks. And I'll say this, just as sort of a precursor or a faux tease to what's to come over the next 4 hours here. We can talk Bucks. And it is mid to nearing the latter portion of July, and it's still relevant. And Joe, I'm a little bit older than you, but I don't think either one of us can ever recall a time where July was a time that you could talk Bucks on sports radio in Milwaukee, not Wisconsin, but in Milwaukee, and get away with it because nobody cared. Nobody. Did you care growing up? I mean, I was a fan back in 2001, obviously, and that was exciting. But since that point in time, it's been, as we know, crickets. And so I'm excited to do a little bit of that and then get into the Green Bay Packers here as well. Let's get things started. And the appropriate place to do that would be the Milwaukee Brewers. Of course, falling again last night. You're now in third place in the National League Central. And not only that, but you are still, I guess, 2.5 games back in the division. So you may look at that and be a little bit optimistic. But I'll say this, the fourth inning last night perfectly exemplifies the Brewers' issues over the last 3 to 4 weeks. Two plays in the field that could have been made, but were not. Followed by a home run, Freddie Freeman going deep on the first pitch that he sees, and then suddenly you're down 3-0. It's the old adage, I mean, good, not great, that theory. The Brewers are capable of being great at times, and we have seen it certainly in earlier portions of this season. We saw largely the same team intact last year do some very special things in getting to the NLCS and one game short of the series, but they are, for whatever reason this season, also very capable of being below average. And you look at this trend, because it is just that at this point. It was the same thing on offense in the fourth inning. You put two guys on with one out, but you can't score. So not only did you do it on the defensive side, but then you allow, or rather don't allow yourself to plate some runs there and make it an interesting game. Then in the fifth, Keston here is tagged out after Arcia can't get it done. It's one thing after the next right now with this team. And I don't mean to come on here and first segment right out of the chute filling in for Bill and just be this eternal pessimist, because I am not that. I would love to believe that the Brewers can still right this ship and get things sailing in the right direction. It's not a death sentence to the season right now, mostly because the rest of the NL is brutal. But it's pretty obvious that if you're going to be a playoff team, that type of stuff can't happen. It needs to stop happening sooner than later. And you go back to Sunday, it's the exact same thing against the Giants, Joe. Milwaukee puts the first two guys on base, but only scores one run in the first inning. And then in the top of the second, you have an error by Eric Thames, and the Giants wind up scoring an unearned run to tie the game. And here we are, one apiece. It's not that errors and mistakes aren't going to happen over the course of a 162-game schedule. I get that they will. I'm not unforgiving of that. We're all human out there. But the Brewers are making them at the most inopportune times when the game is still in balance. And yes, I realize the Giants went on to win 8-3 Sunday, so there are probably some people that will say, well, what, you know, did it really ultimately matter? First of all, I'm someone who firmly believes that a game can play out very differently if the score is 2-0 or 3-0 after two innings in your favor rather than tied at one. So this is the issue. And the question then becomes in all of this, how do you fix this situation? How do you fix what's happening right now? And, you know, I'm struggling with that, as I'm sure a lot of Brewer fans are. I know that there are some theories out there. I don't think it's as simple as saying, go make a move, bring one guy in that's going to spark this team and get them in the right direction, or have them trending in the right direction. We saw that last year. You bring in Mike Moustakas, of course, that was your big acquisition, and it worked out. But the Brewers were in a different position at that point in time. They struggled going into the All-Star break, had lost six straight, including five at Pittsburgh. But coming out, they figured it out rather quickly. And that's when, if you'll recall, of course, Christian Yelich got extraordinarily hot. That's where things differ in my mind right now with this team to this point, having lost three of four coming out of the break. You thought, at least I thought, that the physical break, but perhaps even more so the psychological break, would be what they needed to turn this around, and it's the same things, the same bugaboos that are happening right now. So, do you go out and acquire a guy? Do you go out and acquire two guys, three guys? How many is enough to quote-unquote fix this situation? I'm still of the belief, Joe, that there has to be a whole lot of improvement internally from guys on this roster, and hopefully from some guys that are going to be making their way back. Talk about Gio Gonzalez in a moment, who had a nice start for AAA San Antonio last night. But it's not, maybe not the popular sentiment, but that's what has to happen in my mind, in addition to perhaps a move or two for this Brewers team to even consider going to the playoffs and having a chance to repeat what they did last year.
Well, it was frustrating last night to see these hitters struggle against Max Fried, and Max Fried is not a bad pitcher. But he's had a bad stretch. We talked about this yesterday, looking at his numbers over his last eight starts, and the guy has an ERA over six. Now, why is it that all of these other teams that have been going up against Max Fried have been able to figure him out, but this Brewers lineup, as potent as it was yesterday, couldn't? And look, I look at Yasmani Grandal, for example. Okay, the ejection, dude, knock it off. That was strike three, and there was no debate about it. He admitted it last night that his emotions got the best of him, and he's just frustrated because of how this season has gone, and these guys are trying everything they can to, you know, make sure that this thing gets righted as soon as possible. They know there's some pressure on him. But Yasmani Grandal, you got to protect the plate, dude. Anything close. Don't they tell you that in Little League? I mean, he also swung and missed at a 3-2 fastball right down the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Grandal's average is dipping, too. He's down to like 251 now.
Well, and I think that's the scariest part about this. The fact that frustration is clearly setting in. Grandal was the shining example, obviously, last night. But you can hear it in Craig Counsell's tone of voice as well. They have to figure some things out. Two runs is not going to be enough to win a game, but it feels like if it's not one thing, it's another with this Brewers squad right now where, okay, maybe you get a good start, but the bullpen isn't reliable, or if you don't get a good start, you put up seven runs, but it's not enough, and you lose 9-7. It's one thing after the next. They can't piece anything together at this point, and that's the frustration portion of this is what I think is scariest, because we've seen this in other arenas with other teams and other sports, quite frankly, where you're maybe not playing all that well, but at some point you find a way to figure things out, and slowly but surely you dig yourselves back up or pull yourselves back up to being where you need to be. But when this mindset takes over of we're frustrated, we can't figure anything out, we don't have any answers as to why this isn't going better for us right now, that's when things can really spiral out of control. So it's not, again, I'm not here to be a naysayer or a doomsday prognosticator. I'm not that, but you're also not ready to face reality if you're looking at this team and don't understand that there's something incredibly wrong right now. And something needs to take place to fix it. Now, by the way, I'll give you, if you want to get involved with the conversation, 855-830-8648 on the Milwaukee Admirals, hashtag Milwaukee Hockey talk line. 855-830-8648. Give us a buzz there. But it's, you know, you're in that situation where it's now or never. If you don't figure something out now, it could become a scenario where you're now looking at 5, 6, 7, 8 teams above you. And even though that number, the games back, isn't all that big, you've got a lot of hurdles to have to cross over. The National League, Joe, to me, is a study in futility this season. You look at the Braves and the Dodgers, and there's nobody else in my mind, and I've said this for probably about 2 months now, that is capable of beating whoever comes out to represent the American League in the World Series. I want to believe that the Brewers could get there. I want to believe that. Do I objectively think that is the case right now? I have a really hard time coming to that conclusion, even if they were to go out and acquire a player or two.
Well, and the thing is, the more I think about it, and thinking about it yesterday, I'm trying to stay as optimistic as I can about the Brewers, and
sure,
I don't want them to be sellers. I don't. You know, I get the reputation that I'm a guy that loves prospects, and you got to make sure your farm system is full as it can be. You know, I want to win. I want to build off of last year. I want to get to a freaking World Series. I mean, I'm getting tired of it. I get tired of it as a fan, especially after what I just endured with the Milwaukee Bucks and how close mm-hmm. they came. When you felt like that team should be in the NBA Finals, and then they let you down and they completely choke. And it was the same thing with the Brewers last year. They were in position to get to the World Series, and they couldn't pull that off. And now this doesn't even look like the same team as last year. And this seems to be a better offense than what it was last year. But again, you can't tell me that this offense can't do more than 2 runs last night against a pitcher that's been struggling. You just can't tell me that.
No.
That lineup last night had every reason and every way possible to tee off a Max Fried, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, they did. And they haven't been able to do it for the last 2 times that they've seen him. And to your reputation, look, I think we all have to understand prospects are great too. This is a balancing act when you're David Stearns, because you want to win now, but you also do not want to gut yourself of potential success in the future. And nobody ever wants to hear about the small market thing. I understand why it gets tiresome. It really does, to use that as an excuse over and over again. But the reality of the situation is also that you have to be very delicate with the resources that you have in order to maximize that level of success. So I'm looking at this year and saying, if you're David Stearns, how do you tell? Do you have a real opportunity here? The next 2 weeks will be critical in gauging that. And we'll get into that a little bit more here coming up in the next segment. Of course, we're going to talk to Adam McKelvey at the start of hour number 2, so we'll get his take on all this. But would you have a problem if the Brewers stood pat come the trade deadline? We'll ask that question as well. By the way, 855-830-8648 of the Milwaukee Admirals, hashtag MIL Hockey Talk Line, 855-830-8648. Come back here in a moment. Keep the Brewers conversation rolling. It's the Bill Michaels Show on the Bill Michaels Sports Radio Network.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Although the Braves bullpen's been good. Here's a 3-2. And a call, strike 3. Grandal is barking at the home plate umpire. Jordan Baker rips off his mask, and now Baker throws him out. And Craig Counsell's probably going to go with him. Grandal barked quickly, was walking back to the dugout. Jordan Baker ripped off his mask. And with Grandal walking away, even though he's yelling at him, he threw him out.
Yeah, Brian Anderson and Rock on Fox Sports Wisconsin last night. That was probably the low point of that loss to the Braves. Yasmani Grandal getting tossed and the frustration boiling over. And we talked about that in the first segment of the show. That's what I find more concerning than anything, because when teams get frustrated, it says, or it seems to indicate, that we don't have answers. We don't know what to do now. And because of that, the level of disdain and to use that word again, frustration just boils over. And you know, here's a fun stat to think about as well, and I use fun in air quotes. Per Adam McKelvey a couple of days ago, we'll talk to him at the start of hour two, the Brewers 8-3 loss to the Giants on Sunday capped a stretch of 26 straight games against teams with losing records as of that time. Brewers were 9-17 in that stretch against losing teams. And then beginning last night with the Braves in town comes a stretch in which they will play 16 of 19 against winning teams. So maybe you look at this as a positive because the next 2 weeks are going to be, they're ultimately going to decide what David Stearns does, whether he is a buyer, a seller, or whether he stands pat. And here's the thing for me in all of this, when you're thinking about what they should do in a couple of weeks, if you surveyed 100 Brewer fans, 1,000 Brewer fans, 10,000 Brewer fans, and you asked them, what is the team's biggest issue? You would receive so many different answers because, frankly, there isn't just one issue right now. And for a time, it was so easy to say that, look, they need pitching, and they do. They were 19th in team ERA at last look in all of Major League Baseball, which isn't good if you consider yourself a postseason team. That said, they were 16th in runs scored. So it's one or the other. I mean, can you supplement both? I think that's going to be awfully difficult without having to rid your system of a lot of guys that either could be contributors in the near future or could be valuable trade ships either in the upcoming offseason or next season at that time. This isn't a concession either, Joe. This isn't a concession, but it's reality at this point in time. You have to think about it at least.
What concerns me is how many needs are there right now for the Brewers? How many holes?
Multiple.
Okay, so we're thinking, what, two more relievers, including a lefty?
I would say so. There was a time where, and a time not too long ago, maybe a week or two ago, where I thought, all right, maybe you don't have the assets to acquire a front-end starter, but you go out and attempt to build that super pen in a similar fashion to what you did last year. And I don't know even if, do two relievers get your staff to where you need it to be? I'm still fuzzy on that.
Because the issue here is, okay, Let's say they need at least two more arms in that bullpen. They need a lefty, and they need another guy who can close games and has been able to close games this season. So there's two right there. I got to think you got to get at least one more starting pitcher to this rotation. So that's three. Then offensively, we talked about this yesterday, and a lot of people got mad about it because you know everyone wants to point to the pitching, but you know I think there has to be a legitimate argument with Orlando Arcia and whether or not this guy is really going to be a part of the long-term solution for this team because he's just so skittish when he's at the plate. Mm-hmm. And his defense has been a little subpar. It's not Orlando Arcia's defense that we're used to. I mean, the guy's got 11 errors. So I question that and whether or not shortstop has to be addressed as well. So let's say that's four. Can the Brewers fill four needs in the next 2 weeks, considering how competitive the trade market is now with so many teams still trying to determine whether or not they want to be buyers or sellers? What I'm afraid is, Marcus, the Brewers are not going to be able to address all those needs in the next 2 weeks. And where does that put them then? Let's say they only make a trade or two. Maybe they get a starter and they get a reliever. Is that going to be enough? It might be enough to get you a wild card, but I don't know if that's really going to get you winning the division or even beyond that, trying to make a deep postseason run.
Well, that's what I think fans, and myself included in this, what you have to determine, what is the goal? Is it a World Series championship or is it get into the postseason and you believe that's a success no matter what happens? I'm of the opinion that World Series is the next logical step following an NLCS, and if you don't see that as a viable option right now, you're not going to fill four needs, to answer your question on it. You're not going to fill four needs without completely gutting your system, and even then, it's a roll of the dice. Now, I would ask this, in that scenario, Joe, would you consider Gio Gonzalez an option potentially to fill that starter's role because he was coming back from injury? It's almost like you're adding him again in some ways.
Look, Gio Gonzalez was so helpful down the stretch last year. I'm just worried about this whole dead arm syndrome. It was encouraging last night to see him pitch very well down in AAA. So give me more of that. You are going to have to depend on him, though. You just are.
Yeah.
And what you're also hoping for is you're hoping to catch lightning in a bottle with a couple other veteran pitchers that you signed that are also down in AAA right now. Shelby Miller, I don't know if he'll ever be fixed. But
is that realistic? Yeah.
Right. But that's why they signed him. They're trying to hope that they can catch lightning in a bottle with him, and they're also trying to do the same thing with Drew Smyly. And Smyly, he's had a couple of good outings down in AAA, and I even suggested yesterday making a bold move because your rotation is just in flux right now. You don't know what to do. Maybe you bring him up and give him a shot and see if he can do it. But Drew Smiley's a guy that's missed a couple of seasons because he's had major shoulder surgery, so it's kind of like the Jimmy Nelson situation.
You know who'd look really good in a Brewers uniform right now is my boy, Happy Gilmore's caddy, Wade Miley, who's hanging out in Houston. 3.32 ERA, 7-4 on the season. I hated it when they let him go. I understood it because you thought Burns and Peralta were going to give you a lot more than they have, and we'll get into that certainly here in a few minutes as well, but... Yeah, they need help. And if Gio Gonzalez is the answer, and I ask that intentionally because if that's the guy, then the percentages or the percentage chance of him coming through and being the player that you can rely on being the pitcher that he was even 3 years ago seems pretty slim to me.
Are the Brewers good enough if they go Gio, Woodruff, Davies, Chacin, and then try to find a fifth starter over, say, a Chase Anderson or an Adrian Hauser? Is that rotation good enough to take you deep and get you all the way to the end?
I think there's a scenario where those guys are decent enough. They certainly, when you say it out loud, it's interesting. It's not as bad when you say that to me as when I just think about the Brewers pitching staff in generic form. When I hear those names, it's like, well, Zach Davies had a really nice year, had a rough stretch for a period there, but got out of it. Chacin, maybe I'm still hung up on what he did last year and thinking that he could be that guy again. Perhaps that was an anomaly, the way that Jesus Aguilar's, certainly his first half last year, appeared to be. I don't know. If those are your front four, you still need to add at least two arms to the bullpen in order to be in a decent spot to go in and get to the postseason. And then I'm not even talking about dealing with the Dodgers or Braves, because I don't believe that adding two arms puts you on their level right now with the way that they have been playing. If you do want to get involved with this conversation, 855-830-8648 on the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag MilHockey talk line, 855-830-8648. Let's go out of the phone lines right now. Dave on the northwest side of Milwaukee has been hanging on. Dave, what's going on today, man? How are you?
Hi. I found your discussion on Grandal very interesting, because I brought up a lot of those points about him yesterday, and all I got was, well, he's an all-star. Well, he's not playing like an all-star. So my thing is this. If Joe and I are going to agree to disagree on this, because I thought maybe against right-handed pitching we should put in
Manny Pena.
Yeah, Manny Pena, I'm sorry. And Joe says, no way. I thought, okay, when is Jacob Nottingham going to get a real shot? I mean, if we made a hard decision about Hernan Perez, why can't we make that same decision about Manny Pena and say, okay, we're bringing up Jacob Nottingham. Every left-handed pitcher that we face, Jacob Nottingham is going to be the catcher. That would be my first thing. Two, the other thing we talked about, and this is one Joe and I both agreed on, and I think Hauser made my point yesterday. That guy, I think, should be our closer. And if we put him in as a closer, then we only need one more reliever. We only need one more starter because we got to find one anyway. I don't think he's the answer, but he could be the answer that we've been looking for as our closer, and then we wouldn't have to overuse Hader so much. So that would be two. I agree with you that Arcia is just horrible. Every time that I listen to him, listen to the guys on TV, and he makes an error, they say, oh, well, you know, at least he gets to the ball, and then he makes an error. So why are you excusing the error when he gets to the ball? I mean, and some of the things that he does out in the field, like that ball that Kane dropped a week ago, that was partly his fault too, because I know Kane's taking the blame for the whole thing, but he's just all over the place. He's just, the guy's a mess.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
And the last thing is, I mean, you could see this one coming a mile away. Is he hit number 13, and now all of a sudden he's a slugger. And again, the guys on TV go, well, you know, you hit home runs, you get paid. Well, you don't hit, you don't get paid.
Yeah, you know? I hear you, Dave, and I want to address some of the stuff that you brought up there. Thanks for the call, but we're up against it as well. So, all right, Jacob Nottingham, Adrian Hauser as a closer, and then Orlando Arcia. I know we have some others hanging on hold. Stay there. We'll get to this when we come back on the other side. I got to keep the Brewers conversation going. My name is Marcus Paff, sitting in for Bill today. Radio Joe Zanzola is here as well. Back with more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
This portion of the Bill Michaels Show brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. Are you ready to go hog wild? Cousin Subs' famous Cubano, it is back along with the new Wisconsin pork and Gouda. You can try the Cubano with ham, Genoa salami, pulled pork, Swiss cheese, and so much more. Or the Wisconsin pork and Gouda featuring pulled pork, bacon, Wisconsin smoked Gouda cheese, onions, mayo, and Dijon mustard. Oh, so good. Order them online at CousinSubs.com for a limited time only. Delivery is now available in select locations, and that's Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
What's going on, Wisconsin? Welcome back to the Bill Michaels Show. My name's Marcus Paff, sitting in for Bill today. However, Radio Joe Zanzola is alongside for the ride. Appreciate that, certainly. Talking Milwaukee Brewers baseball here in this opening hour, and there's no shortage of things to discuss. And when last we left you, Dave on the northwest side of Milwaukee had called in and brought up a couple of things. Number one, he would like to see Manny Pena get a few more starts. Or if nothing else, perhaps look at Jacob Nottingham, who's down in the minors right now, batting 258, three home runs, 26 RBIs, OPS of 753 for Mr. Nottingham with the San Antonio Missions. I haven't had a problem with the way that they've handled the catching duties to this point because Grandal was great for so long at the dish, and he's a switch hitter. Now, having said that, there is a point, there is a threshold where it's worthy of consideration to say, why not allow him to have a day off here or there and see if that can't help spark him a little bit. And maybe Manny Pena is that guy. With Jacob Nottingham, Joe, I don't have a great answer for that. They've brought him back and forth a couple of times now over the last few years. I don't know what their overall assessment is of his long-term future. He is still just 24 years old, but if they thought he was going to be the guy, or that he at least he's ready to be a part of a contending team right now, he'd be here already.
Yeah, I have to agree. I have a sneaky suspicion that the Brewers don't think all that high on Jacob Nottingham. Otherwise, I think he'd be getting more opportunities up here. And I think the Yasmani Grandal signing was very telling in the offseason because you did have a few catchers to go to. Manny Pena was one of them. Eric Kratz was another. You know, they were even thinking about what they wanted to do with Stephen Vogt at the time, and good for Stephen Vogt that he's playing well for the Giants right now. But Jacob Nottingham, you know, you got to remember, the Brewers gave up Chris Davis, and Jacob Nottingham was the centerpiece of that trade coming back. And Jacob Nottingham really hasn't done enough in the minor leagues ever since he became a Brewer that's really proven that he can do it at the big league level. And even when he's got his chances up here, and they've been short stints, really hasn't done anything with it. I've got a funny feeling the Brewers, that's not who they want to look to as their catcher of the future. And that's too bad, because now that's a trade that you look back on and say it didn't really work.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's Nottingham, and it was Bubba Derby. And Bubba Derby's pitching okay in AAA. Maybe he gets a chance at some point. But I think right now that Chris Davis trade on the surface is probably not one of David Stern's finest moves as GM.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it at the time. I will be open and honest about that. But given what's taken place since, it is really kind of hard to swallow because Chris Davis has been fantastic. And as a power hitter, we all know what he did at Miller Park, a home run hitter's yard. And yeah, it stings a little bit. Now, the other part of that I want to get to before we go back out to the phone lines real quick. I know Gary and Wapan has been hanging on. But Adrian Hauser as a closer, Dave brought this up. I have no issue with that whatsoever if that was the route that they elected to take, because you look at the stuff that this guy possesses, and he could certainly, in my mind, be a very successful bullpen arm. He's right there with Corey Knebel and Corbin Burnes from that standpoint of what they possess, just pure stuff-wise. Now, does that mean he's going to go out there and light the world on fire? No. I mean, we've seen that with Corbin Burnes time and time again this year after pitching very, very well in high leverage situations last season. So I think Hauser right now, the reason you're using Hauser as a starter is purely out of necessity. I would love him to help fix the bullpen, but they're wondering who the heck can we turn to that's possibly going to keep us in a game for five innings before we get to our bullpen, which is also not what it was a season ago, Joe.
Well, Adrian Hauser to me should be in the bullpen. It was good to see him pitch as well as he did last night outside of giving up, you know, that 3-run shot to Freddie Freeman.
Pitched better than the numbers, I would say, too.
Yeah.
Pitched better than the numbers.
But see, Adrian Hauser to me fits the mold of what the Brewers were doing last year when they were using guys like Corbin Burnes for 2-3 innings to fill. Brandon Woodruff, the same role, same deal. I'm fine using Adrian Hauser in that way where he can get through a lineup at least once or maybe twice, and then that's it. You know, fill 2-3-4 innings if you have to, especially if one of your starters is struggling out of the gates. I mean, we saw that so many times late last season. I would, for me, Marcus, I want to just overload that bullpen. So I'm moving Hauser back, and I'm still going after a left-handed reliever like a Will Smith. That's clearly the biggest name on the market, and we saw yesterday the Brewers are definitely interested in Will Smith. And another guy that can legitimately close games. Because now think of your depth then. You would have Hauser, you would have those two new guys, plus Josh Hader, plus Jeremy Jeffress, plus Junior Guerra, plus Matt Albers. Now, all of a sudden, those guys like Matt Albers, who everyone hates, and Junior Guerra, who's been very inconsistent, pitched well last night. Now, all of a sudden, those guys are not your reliable guys in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning. Those are guys that can actually do mop-up work, and that's not a bad thing.
Let's go back out to the Milwaukee Admirals, hashtag MilHockeyTalkLine. Want to squeeze in one more call as Gary and Wapan's been hanging on. Gary, what's going on, man? What do you got today?
Well, you know, guys, I thanks for taking my call, but it's so hard to repeat in baseball. And you look at the chemistry we had. The two big factors that I think that are playing a role this year is we lost a really good pitching coach that kind of shows that he had some chemistry with the pitchers, because if you look at what he's done in Cincinnati, I mean, it's pretty impressive. And what he did with the team and pitching last year, that's a big loss. And then, you know, when it's hard to repeat like that, you lose a big cog like that, and it just makes it so hard for us to come back, and especially a small market team. You know, the billionaire teams can reload and keep coming, but, you know, for us, it was lightning in the bottle in September for us, but the pitching staff did really well throughout, and then we had problems hitting. Well, this year now he seems to be hitting a little better, but now that seems to be going by the wayside too. But our pitching has been suspect all the way through, and I just think, you know, without that pitching coach we lost last year, that's been a big loss for us.
Yeah, I agree. And Gary, thanks for the call. It's really difficult to quantify the loss of a pitching coach, other than to look at the results and try to assess, all right, what are we doing now that we weren't doing when he was here? And what is his new team doing? Well, Derek Johnson, it's an easy thing to point to right now. And I think that it's logical to believe that the loss of him as your pitching coach is having a negative impact on where you're going as a team right now or as a pitching staff. And I will say this because we're up against it, but tough to repeat in baseball. There's no question. I get that. That is the reality of this league. That being said, the Dodgers have back-to-back-to-back seasons had a lot of success, and we could talk about, yes, they have a much larger payroll. They have some things that they can do that perhaps the Brewers aren't capable of doing. But returning a large portion of that team from a season ago and now just hovering one game over 500, that's where the frustration comes in.
You know what really frustrates me about the Dodgers?
What's that?
Not only the payroll, how do they keep developing all of these just stud players in their farm system?
It's a great question.
How do they
do that? It's a great point. Because their pitching has come up through their system. I mean, Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, the young kid, why can't I think of his name? Where's the glasses that came out of the pen for them at times? I'll think of it. But it's pitcher after pitcher, they get it done. And frankly, we're seeing more and more of this out of the big market teams, even the Yankees developing more of their own talent. Anyway, we got a break here. We'll come back in a moment. Going to wrap things up. A couple of other Brewer topics to tidbits to get to before Adam McKelvey joins us at the top of hour number two. He's Radio Joe Zanzola. My name's Marcus Pfaff in for Bill. This is the Bill Michaels Show on the Bill Michaels Sports Network.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the Bill Michaels Show. Marcus Pfaff in for Bill today. Radio Joe Zanzola along for the ride as well. Talking a lot of Brewers in this opening hour. And here's sort of the overall premise that I think we keep coming back to, and I've said this once already, that if you talk to any number of Brewer fans out there, everybody's going to have a different opinion as to what it is that's ailing the Brewers right now and how to go about fixing it. But the more I think about this, Joe, the more I have pondered this question over the last 3, 4, 5 days, the idea of staying pat or just holding steady at the trade deadline and not doing anything, the more that I've come to terms with it potentially being the best possible path for this team, and I haven't even said the S word, sellers, yet, but I do think that you have to at least consider that possibility right now when taking into account the long-term health of the franchise, because we all want them to be successful in 2020, 2021, 2022. And no, you can't always be thinking about the next 3 years and let the present just pass you by. But when the present doesn't look like it really stacks up in your favor, that's the time to think to the future right now. So I have to believe those conversations have been had inside the Miller Park offices between David Stearns and Mark Attanasio at some point.
But think about that, though. Think about David Stearns and Mark in a room, and they're talking, and Stearns is like, you know what? I don't know. Mark, this is how I feel about the team. I'm not really sure this is a team that can fully compete and get us to a World Series, even if we try to make a couple moves here before the deadline. How would you feel if maybe we just sold a little bit? We're not doing a full rebuild. We're just unloading Mike Moustakas, Yasmani Grandal, restocking our farm system, and then in the offseason, we'll go for it again. I just wonder what Mark's reaction would be to that if David Stearns made that pitch. Because Mark Attanasio, he ponied up a lot of money for those two guys, and they both of them ended up being all-stars. That is a tough pill to swallow for Mark Attanasio. I mean, he's been able to buy in to a rebuild in the past, but I'm not sure that's going to sit well with him.
Yeah, I don't think he's excited about it.
But well, he's certainly not excited about it.
Right. But as a businessman, it's not going to be a fun conversation for David Stearns to have or broach. But if you're talking about this objectively, I would hope that Mark Attanasio can look at this and understand that if we were to deal somebody like a Mike Moustakas, and again, I'm not saying that this is going to take place. I just think you have to consider that it is a legitimate possibility depending upon how the next few weeks shake out. But if you were to deal a Mike Moustakas because you're, let's say, 2 or 3 games below 500 and you're 3, 4, 4 or 5 games back in the wild card, you could get a pretty nice return for a player that was an all-star this year. And then, yeah, by the way, if you really wanted him back as part of your long-term plan, you could re-sign him this offseason. So it just, You have to at least think about that. And I would hope that Mark Attanasio can do that. I certainly want to believe that he's capable of that as well. Although I wouldn't want to be the guy to broach the subject to him.
Well, remember this, too, in the offseason. The Brewers made a couple of trades that were kind of in a seller's mindset. I mean, you traded Domingo Santana to get Ben Gamel, which had an extra year of control for him, or he had an extra minor league option, and you got a pitching prospect. You traded Keon Broxton for three minor leaguers.
Well, Broxton was kind of, I mean, there was a log jam in the outfield. Remember that conversation that would never go away?
But the point is, David Stearns isn't afraid to unload a big league guy for prospects just to replenish the system.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. We got to wrap up hour one. Adam McKelvey of Brewers and MLB.com is coming up next. My name's Marcus Paff, sitting in for Bill Radio Joe. Obviously, you just heard his voice. It's the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.